Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Linehan.
Well, there are so many of these podcasts out there streaming around YouTube, all the different places. I thank you for finding ours. I love those songwriter podcasts and the music podcasts. I listen to them a lot, all the time, when I'm working out, when I'm walking, wherever. And we're glad that you found ours. Now over 1,100,000 worldwide streams. Thanks to you and for sharing the word. Thank you so much. I've got a great artist with us today and songwriter. It's Paige King, and I'm dropping things everywhere, so I'm excited. Paige King Johnson. You know, right? I'm a special kind of
there
idiot.
There could not be a better intro for me ever.
You know, let me try this again. There we go. No. Paige King Johnson. And I always say you got to be careful those artists with the three names.
I know.
Paige King Johnson.
You got to get them all right.
Yeah.
We're big personalities.
Yeah, you need three names for them.
We do. God gave me all three of them. People ask me, they're like, why do you use all three? I'm like, well, God gave me all three. Why not use them all?
Why not? Absolutely. Well, it's very good to have you here. I know we have a good friend in common.
Yes.
In Martin Buchanan. Martin shot my latest video. We go way back as songwriters together, and he's such a talented guy, isn't he?
Oh, and just such a good soul. I mean, yes. In this industry, there's talented people everywhere, but finding people that you just love to be around and love to work with.
Yeah, I hear you.
And that you like to spend time with, like that's truly what you look for. And he's just one of the sweetest souls.
He really is. He's one of our Cincinnati group songwriters, and we're all meeting for we got a cabin, and we do this once a year. We get a cabin. This one's, we're going to be at, what's the lake? I always forget, Dale Hollow. And we've got a little cabin, and we just lock ourselves in and write for a long weekend.
Love that.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Yeah.
Love it.
So I look forward to sitting down with him again and writing. He did my video, Absalom, if you've seen it out there. If you haven't, please do check it out. But he did some videos for you, too.
Yes.
Like three or so?
Yes. So I met him through my connection with the Department of Agriculture in North Carolina. Uh-huh. And
you're the music ambassador for
yes.
Me. I love that.
I call myself the sweet potato queen.
All right.
But we met through that, and so we did a couple of video projects with the Department of Agriculture, and then he also shot the music video for my song, Why God Made Small Towns, and I got to bring him to my little hometown in North Carolina and show him around.
Your barnyard sessions, right?
Yes, yeah. We got to do that as well, too, and so just a lot of really fun video projects, and some of the ones that mean the most to me are the ones
cool.
That he was on.
We're
going
to talk about all that
stuff.
Sure. But first, I want to say I love... I was looking through your bio, and we preach a lot on this Songwriter Connection podcast about what you say your main goal in life is, and I just love it. So I wanted to bring this up. You said, my main goal with music is to keep it authentically me.
Yes.
And authentically country.
Yes.
So
amen.
That's your brand. As long as I continue to achieve these two things, I will remain satisfied and happy on this journey, no matter where it takes me.
Yes.
It covers it all right there that we talk about. Define your own sense of success. Be you.
Yeah.
Have a passion for it. But be authentic to you.
Right.
Be
exactly.
You who you are.
Well, yeah. You know, I tell people all the time that art can't be forced. You know, the second that you get in a room and you try to write something that you think is going to be successful or whatever is trending on TikTok or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, your fans and your people around you, the people who know you well, they can see right through, mm. you know, the smoke and mirrors. And if it's not something that's truly something that you would say or, you know, something that would come out of your mouth in conversation, then, you know, why are you putting it out? Just to try to catch a few followers or something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So
I got to keep it country and keep it me.
That's you. I love that about you. That's fantastic. Let's tell folks a little bit more about you. You grew up in a little North Carolina town south of Raleigh
mm-hmm.
called
Anger.
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 Yeah. Farming country.
Right? I noticed you didn't try to pronounce it because nobody can get it right.
No, I didn't even try. I thought I'd let you do that. You caught me. 40 years of radio experience. Anger. Okay.
Yes.
And it's a farming community. You grew up on a farm.
I did. A horse farm uh-huh. Out there. And
so you ride horses and stuff.
Yeah. I did. I grew up. That was my sport, was showing horses.
Really?
From the time I was about 3 years old until I moved to Nashville.
How about that? Wow.
And
do you still ride occasionally?
When I get time to, my parents still have a horse on their farm, and I don't really get weekends, really at all. But on the occasional off day,
you gotta play on the weekends.
I'll be able to get back and get to the barn and at least, you know, honestly, just getting the horses out and brushing them off does a world of therapy for me.
There's a title for you, Back to the Barn.
Yes.
There you go. So I'll tell you a little bit more about Paige, and then we're going to get into this. Paige picked up a guitar very early. She was singing since 9 years old.
Yes.
And you sang all the classics, Loretta.
Yes.
And all, you know, Merle Haggard and all of them. Patsy Cline, yes. Waylon Jennings, all my yes. favorites. And then you started playing around, and the next thing you know, you're opening for all the big acts, you know. Kane Brown and Scotty McCrary and Lone Star and Neil McCoy and many others. And you went to Belmont University.
I did.
You're in Nashville. And I always said, if I could do it all over again, I would have gone to Belmont.
Yeah, little baby Bruin sitting right here.
Right. A baby Bruin. And you took the music business. That's what you studied.
I did. I come from an entrepreneur. That's a hard word.
That is
entrepreneurial
a hard word.
Family.
It's almost like Angier.
Yeah, it's just as bad.
Yeah.
And both my parents, my dad started a business and my mom helped him get it off the ground. And so I always had a business mind in me. And thankfully, them being in business, they were smart enough to kind of edge me towards, hey, why don't you learn about the business side of this instead of just the artistic side? You can take piano lessons, you can take guitar lessons, you can read books on songwriting. But, you know, there's not a lot of resources out there to learn about the business of music and, you know, how to make money and how to stay afloat.
Yeah. And it's so important. I think having a good business head and being in music is so important
because
you're managing your own career. And even if you're not, you know the ins and outs.
Right.
So you're not taking advantage of.
Exactly. I mean, you know, people who consume music, I don't think they realize that like each artist is truly just another small business in the world.
It really is.
And there's so many moving parts and so many, you know, bad ways that you can turn that can completely sink your ship in a matter of seconds. And, you know, I know that I love music so much that I wanted my career in music to have longevity. And so I was able to learn a lot. I mean, I do not by any means know everything that there is to know. And
you
learn,
can.
You know, there's a lot of learning by doing that happens in this industry as well, too. But it was important for me to learn what I'm owed as a writer and as an artist and how to stick up for myself.
That's great. Yeah. And we're going to delve more into that. I want to say more. She's a 5-time Carolina Country Music Awards winner, Female Vocalist of the Year, Single of the Year, Emerging New Artist, Songwriter of the Year.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a songwriter podcast. And Tour of the Year. So you're out there touring a lot, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you get out there. And you mentioned in 2022, the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services named you the musical ambassador for
yes.
them. And that required a song and a video. And that is so cool. Your songs have been on TV, on CMT, RFD TV, Heartland Newsmax, and lots of others. And then most recently, and I want to congratulate for this, on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes.
With your friend Pam Tillis.
Yes, absolutely insanity.
That's where I want to start. Talk about stepping in that circle for the first time.
Oh, I mean, it was just, you know, it's something that I think every person that moves to this town dreams of.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously was on my bucket list, but I never, ever imagined that it would happen in the first 9 years of me stepping foot in this town, much less with Pam Tillis by my side. Like, you know, that was nothing that was on my bingo card for this year.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, it was a mixture of, okay, don't throw up side stage. Don't let your knees buckle. Don't fall in these heels that you bought. Oh. Remember all the words to your song and maybe try to sing halfway decent while you're freaking out on the inside.
Well, see, this is where all your experience comes in, having been on stages and things.
Absolutely.
You just fall back on that.
I was relying on Jesus and the last 15 years of me doing this.
Oh, that's so great.
That's all it was.
So how did you and Pam become friends?
It was back in 2020. I was working on a single to put out to radio called Just Like You. And it was right after the shutdowns.
Yeah.
You know, we were all kind of flailing. And I got a phone call from Pam. And she had heard about me through somebody else on my team. And I thought I was being punk.
You did. Was it like, this doesn't really happen, right?
I was like,
who is this?
Who has decided, like, you know, we're in the midst of shutting down and my whole world is crumbling. I'm like, of course somebody else is trying to punk me. No, it was really Pam Tillis.
Oh, my.
And she called me up and she was basically just said, you know, I heard your song Just Like You. I believe in you as a songwriter and as an artist. And, you know, I want to, while I'm off the road, I want to, you know, be of any help to you that I can. And that kind of tumbled into her falling into this producer role that she had never done for my music video for Just Like You. And that was kind of the beginning of our relationship. And we worked on multiple music videos after that. And it just kind of, you know, came into what I call like this sisterhood. She's kind of like my big sister in country music. And
could you have a better mentor?
I know.
I don't think so. That's awesome.
I mean, you know, she's seen everything in this industry from, you know, being a child of Mel Tillis to then having her pursuing her own artist career. And, you know, she knows the ins and outs, the good, the bad, the ugly, the everything. And, you know, every time I'm around her, which she's just a hoot and a half and I just love hanging out with her, but she has so much knowledge and so many stories to tell.
Oh,
and there's just so much.
I remember a few from back in my radio days, where she talked about Dad would bring her to shows and she'd fall asleep on his guitar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anywhere. I mean, you know, kids like that, they grow up completely different. And she has a whole different outlook on life that's just so interesting to hear from her.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What a cool story.
Uh-huh.
And of course, she was right there with you on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes.
Huh? Did you sing together? Was it a duet or?
It wasn't. Uh-huh. She kind of sandwiched me in between two of her songs and her three song set. And so I remember I was walking out, she introduced me. And I was walking out, and she hugged my neck, and she just whispered in my ear. She was like, "Go get it!
Go get it!"
Just like, oh, God.
No pressure. That's an awesome story. So, what did you wear?
Oh my gosh, that was like the biggest thing.
I'll bet.
You know, like after we figured out what song I was going to sing, I was like, "Well, what do you wear to the Grand Ole Opry?"
Really?
I don't even know. I wanted to like pull out my prom dresses, but none of them fit. So it had to go. No, I'm kidding.
Come on.
And ended up like shopping for 2 weeks and ended up wearing a dress that I had in my closet for like 5 years.
Awesome.
So
that's great. Now, is there a video of this out there on YouTube?
There is. Yeah.
Not on YouTube.
On Instagram, there's some video footage and photos and stuff like that.
I
want to remember this day forever.
Absolutely. Forever.
I want my kids to know that I was cool at one point in my life.
You know, even when you become a big star and you've done it 100 times, you look back to that first time and you go, man, that was so special.
Yeah.
Now you've got a new song out and I want to talk about it. I want to play it. You wrote on this song, right?
I did.
You like to write.
I do. I love it.
Yeah. Consider yourself a songwriter and performer.
And an artist, yeah.
Yeah. Now you wrote this with two special people. Tell us about it and the writing. I know one of the two.
Yes.
And the other I know kind of.
Know of.
Of, yeah.
I wrote the song with Terry Joe Box and Scott Sean White.
Yeah.
We wrote it, I believe, June of last year. Sitting on the front porch at Terry Joe's publisher house. And I brought the idea to them. I'd had it kind of sitting in my phone for a little while. And I knew it was... It was going to have, you know, like a light sense of humor to it. And Terry Jo is just such a funny person. She's a brilliant writer. And Scott Shaun White is the same, and he's just a goofball. And like when all three of us are together,
Perfect match.
We can just like write the silly songs, but also that are like hooky. And so I was like, I don't really know how to execute this, but I have the idea. And we just...
We kept
tweaking it, and we came out with Somebody's Gotta Do It.
Somebody's Gotta Do It. Yeah. Let's give it a listen, then we're going to talk about how it was tweaked, okay?
Yes.
This is Paige King Johnson. This three-name artist. Gotta watch out. Somebody's Gotta Do It. It's a brand new single.
Summer sun, no shirt. Oh my Lord. Somebody's gotta answer when he says, hey honey, and be right where he spends all his money. Somebody's gotta get wrapped in them arms. I guess I'll step up and be the girl that has to be the center of his whole world. Yeah, it's a tough gig to deal with. Go ahead, sign me up. Those daisies, why he wants to lay in bed all day, being lazy or crazy. Somebody who's willing when he wants to dance, and don't mind a man that's good with his hands. Somebody's gotta help him make those babies. It's a tough gig to deal with. Go ahead, sign me up. If he needs loving all night long or something pretty to kiss on, guess I'll be the one to suffer through it. Hey, hey, hey. I guess I'll be the one to suffer through it. Hey, hey, hey. If somebody's gotta do it, do it. If somebody's gotta do it.
Oh, yeah. Paige King Johnson. Do they call you PKJ?
They do.
PKJ. Yeah. PKJ.
It's a little less mouthy.
And, of course, you wrote that with Scott Shaun White.
Yes.
And
Terry Jo Box. It was a bunch of three names. There was a lot of big heads in the room that day.
You don't call Terry Jo Terry.
No.
You call her TJ, I think.
You call her TJ or Terry Jo.
Terry Jo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love her. She's just really amazing. Beautiful gal. And she runs the freak show at the local here in town, which I'm sure you've played a few times, right?
Yes, one of my favorite rounds in town.
It is mine, too. I've only done it a few times when I beg her.
Yeah.
Sometimes she feels sorry for me. But she, you know, one time I was playing it, we have this crazy, stupid song. It's called Said No One Ever.
Uh-huh.
And it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And after the round, she says to me, I go, yeah, she goes, you know that song you did... Said No One Ever. I go, yeah. She goes, I just want you to know, I've been writing on that for a couple of weeks. So if you ever hear it, I didn't steal it from you.
Right.
No problem. Nobody steals, you know. You just write it better.
Right.
I know that's how it goes, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's wonderful. Love her.
She's amazing.
And she's a redhead.
And
she has a standing invitation to be on this show. One of these days, we're going to talk her into it.
You need to.
I do.
She's got all kinds of stories.
Yeah. Find that interview when you see it.
Yeah, I will.
She's a great writer. And I told her I drove off the road first time I heard the song she wrote with Ashley McBride, the one about Great American Scandal, like Kennedy and Monroe. Whoa, that's some writing.
And just hearing her sing that. Have you ever heard her sing that live?
I've not heard her sing that live.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
Amazing.
So good.
I bet it is. Because I always love hearing the songwriter sing the song.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because they put their take. I mean, it was how it was supposed to be.
Right, exactly.
You know? Yeah. So let's talk about your voice in writing. We talk about your singing voice, which is amazing. You've got a great country, authentic. You can tell you grew up on Loretta and Patsy. And
that's a good thing.
But finding your voice when it comes to writing is a whole different thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
When did it start for you? When did you start discovering that?
When I moved to Nashville, you know, I naively moved here thinking that if you could be a good singer, you know, they'd be waiting on Music Row with a record deal in my hand, in their hands, you know, ready for me to sign on the dotted line, as we all do. I quickly realized that Nashville, you know, you had to not necessarily be a great songwriter, but you had to know what you wanted to say, and you had to have a little bit of a voice. And I was nervous to write songs, I think, because I was 17 at the time, and I was like,
when you first started coming here, you were 17?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. And I was like, what have I lived through, and what do I have to say that anybody cares about listening to? As a 17-year-old kid that grew up on a farm, you know? And my roommate, my first roommate in college, Allison Mahal, she's still one of my best friends to this day.
Allison Mahal?
Mahal.
She's of the Taj Mahals?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
she's from Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And she's very prolific songwriter, does all of her writing by herself. And I mean, she's just incredible. And she was the one who was just like, Paige, like, who are you scared of? You know what? Just sit down and write. And so she sat down and kind of held my hand through the beginning of it and taught me what songwriting was and just like, write it down, like write the sucky stuff down so the good stuff can come later, you know?
That's good advice.
That's all you have to do. And so she was the one who kind of pushed me. And then I started going to different writers' rounds and meeting different people and, you know, would put all of my pride aside and walk up at the end and try to meet somebody and say, hey, do you want to write? I mean, that's literally how you find your circle here in town. And that was how I figured it out and, you know, wrote the sucky ones so the better ones would come.
What you have to do, you know,
and really. I still write sucky ones.
We all do.
Yeah.
Even the big pro hit writers will tell you that, you know. And sometimes the ones that you thought were really sucky become the big hits.
Yeah, yeah. The silly ones. The silly ones that you just wrote because you didn't have anything else on your mind.
Oh, yeah. And then you got to play it for the rest of your career.
I know, right? I keep that in the back of my mind. I'm like, okay, it can't be too ridiculous because if this is a song to go viral, then I got to play this at writer's rounds for the next 50 years.
Rest of your life. Hey, are you telling me that when you were little and you picked up that guitar, you didn't try to write songs?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I was never like never a Taylor Swift little like girl in her room.
Okay.
You
just worked on the farm and stayed pretty darn busy, I bet.
I played what I knew and what I heard, and that was what people enjoyed listening to. And I was like, okay, well, I want people to keep clapping when I'm done. So.
Your grandpa gave you your first guitar, right? Little baby Taylor?
Yes. Little 9-10 year old for Christmas that year, he bought me a guitar and pretty much just said, like, here, kids, see what this thing can do for you. I had been taking piano lessons for a few years before that, and so he knew, like, music was kind of there for me. And he gave me that guitar, and he was around for a few months after that to be able to see me you know, play in really bad chord formations and all the things. And he ended up passing away the following Easter.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and so he was kind of...
Play an instrument? Did he?
He didn't. He was straight-laced car salesman.
Oh,
you know.
I love him already.
Yeah.
I did that for a while between radio jobs.
Yeah. And my dad grew up, he played drums in a couple of bands in high school. And my mom, like, sang in choir at school, but neither of them, you know, ever had any desire to do anything professionally with it. But, you know, there was music in our blood a little bit. And my sister, my older sister, my parents saw the value in music and teaching kids music. And so from the time we were little, we were in piano lessons. And then for me, that turned to guitar lessons. And my sister was in band from middle school all the way through college. And I was in band for a little while in middle school as well, too. And then switched
over
to chorus.
What did you play in the band?
I was first chair alto sax. No big deal or anything.
So you're a multi-instrumentalist.
Oh, I couldn't play a saxophone now to save my life.
How about piano? Do you play a little piano?
A little. I mean, I can like clunk my way through chords, but I feel more confident on a guitar. I wish I would have stayed with piano. Songwriters, if you're listening, learn piano first and learn the theory behind it.
Now, that's interesting you say that. You're the first one I've heard to say that. So tell us why.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's important?
Well, even now when I play on guitar, I think of it in piano terms.
Wow.
And I see everything on piano, even though I don't even know what I'm talking about when I'm speaking about piano. I wish I would have stayed in piano longer, more so just to learn more theory behind everything and learn...
It does help with the theory, doesn't it?
Right, and learn scales and learn chord formations and everything else to know why. I mean, like, you know, I know how to do stuff on guitar now, but most of it's just muscle memory, just because that's how it is, you know? Yeah. And I don't understand the theory behind it, and I need to be more diligent about forcing myself to sit down and take YouTube lessons again or, you know, whatever it is. But
it's cool, but sometimes too much theory can confuse you.
It can get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't ever want to do that. Maybe that's my excuse for why I don't sit down.
There you go. Remember where you got that. But, you know, it really makes a lot of sense because you look at a keyboard on a piano, it's all in here like that. And you know the black keys are the minors.
Right, yeah.
You know, but on a guitar, it's weird because the way it's tuned, you got that B.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's so everything's, it's so weird. And then you just learn to work around it.
Well, and then you get in rooms with different writers and they're like, oh, well, I play, you know. Every guy I have ever played any show with, they're tuned down at least a half, if not a whole step. Or they're in like dadgad or
drop D.
And I'm like, y'all are playing in the professional leagues and y'all left me behind at the kickball in elementary school. Like, do whatever you want to do. I'm just going to write lyrics today.
Yeah. You know, we've said before, you know, different tunings and stuff. If you're in a slump, you can try a different tuning, a dadgad or whatever, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. But what's really hard about it was when you go on stage, because you don't want to have to, I'm going to tune a dadgad. Right. Hang on here, I'm tuning. Anybody got a joke? And you're doing it's frustrating, unless you bring a couple of guitars, you know. So what I end up doing, and I've written with a lot of people that'll drop the D.
Yeah.
And some of the songs just sound better that way, and I'll do it. It's very easy to do that on stage. But a lot of times what I'll do is just, I'll just learn how to play it in, you know, regular tune.
Right, exactly.
You know, and go from there. So, but that's cool. That's interesting.
You do. You get different inspiration from different tunings. And a dear friend of mine here in town, Greg Wilson.
I love Greg Wilson.
He is a sweetheart.
Been on this podcast, an amazing songwriter. And he's the guy I was thinking about when you said dadgad.
He only writes in dadgad. Every single time. Me, him, and Scott, we write together quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, he only writes in dadgad, and I love writing with him because, well, he's just like stupid good at melodies, and his voice is amazing. But B, it just brings a whole breath of fresh air to the room.
It does. Yeah. Cool. I didn't get a chance to write with him enough. Maybe four or five songs, but I love the guy, and he's been on this podcast. We've been trying to get him back.
Yes,
because he's just that talented.
Yes.
Well, let's take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to pick up that guitar.
Perfect.
And we're going to do some music live around the dining room table. That's what we're known for. Sound good? Be right back.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
And J-P-K. No, J-K-P.
P-K-J.
P-K.
It's bad. It's a lot.
No, that's my squirrel brain. when I'll just call you Paige King Johnson. All right. I'm a special kind of idiot. Hey, listen, if you're listening on YouTube, and I know it's not a video podcast as of yet, but please hit the like and subscribe because that does help us very, very much. Paige, thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it. I'd like to hear a song that you've written live around this dining room table.
Do you have a preference?
I really don't, but here's the thing. I like to hear the story behind it, how it was written, and you know.
I think I'll start with the one we were talking about earlier that mm-hmm. Martin did the video for.
Herb Buchanan.
yeah, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I got frogs in my throat. Mm-hmm. I wrote this song with a dear friend of mine here in town, Mike Astrakhan.
You know, that's funny because I know him. I met him once or twice.
Yeah?
And he works a lot with my friend Olivia Francis.
Yes, he does.
Do you know Olivia?
I don't know her, but I know her through him.
Yeah. Great guy.
I met him in 2019.
Okay.
And we started writing then, and he's honestly one of the people that I write the most consistently with.
Wow.
And we just get each other on a whole lot of levels, and, you know, I know I'm going to get a good song with him.
That's great.
But I wrote this song shortly after the shutdowns and COVID. I went back home like everybody kind of did and was like, what is going on? And it was the first time in 5 years that I had, you know, been back in my hometown for more than, you know, a couple of days at a time for a school break or whatever. And it really just kind of like had me in my feels a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. and that was the first time I felt like I really appreciated my hometown and the people and the places that helped raise me up. And, you know, since I had moved away, because when I left, I was, you know, the know-it-all 17-year-old who thought that I had outgrown it and it didn't have anything else to do for me and that I was way bigger than it and all the things. And whenever I found myself back in it and just being reminded of all the people and the places there, it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And so this is kind of like our love letter to the place that helped raise us up.
That's great.
They're just a few square miles from one line to the other. They're mighty in heart, they're mighty small in number. Welcome everybody from sun up to sundown. That's why God made small towns. They're nestled in every corner from coast to coast. They're full of everyday people with dreams and hopes. Putting in hours to help the world keep spinning round. That's why God made small towns, to have a family and raise them up, to have a place to land when you're down on your luck, to live for Friday night and Sunday church and heal everything with just a little dirt. Wanted a special place where the lost can get found. That's why God made small towns. He saw some of his people living a simple life. They clung to humble things and passed slower time, longing for deeper roots in solid ground. That's why God made small towns, to have a family and raise them up, to have a place to land when you're down on your luck, to live for Friday night
and Sunday church and heal everything with just a little dirt. He wanted a special place where the lost can get found. That's why God made small towns full of big dreams. Everybody's pulling for the home team. He made a Main Street drive with $1 million view. For me and you to have a family and raise them up to have a place to land when you're down on your luck, to live for Friday night and Sunday church and heal everything with just a little dirt. He wanted a special place where the lost can get. Just a patch of land to bring a little heaven down. That's why God made small towns. That's why God made small towns. That's why God made small towns.
Awesome. That is a great song. Beautiful melody. Awesome.
But
God made small towns. Paige King Johnson is our guest. Tell me a little bit about the Barn Sessions. You talk about going back to your hometown.
Yes. Yeah. It was, so we actually shot that in my mom's hometown in North Carolina, in Eastern North Carolina. And we shot, it was a video and an audio project that we kind of split up into two.
Mm-hmm.
But like you, I'm just such a songwriter nerd when it comes down to it. Right. And I love hearing songs stripped back to, you know, how they came into this world.
Me too.
And I was really passionate about the group of songs that we put out last year. I wanted to kind of bring them back to just the stripped down version. And so we sat down, just a mic, me, my dobro player, on my granddad's farm in Pikeville, North Carolina. And we sat there, and I mean, it's real and raw. There's horse sounds in the background. I mean, there's everything. And it was just such a sweet day. I mean, we shot it back. It was actually last October that we shot it. And, you know, it was just the most beautiful day, and just sitting out there, and, you know, all of the memories of me as a little kid were flooding back to me as I'm sitting out there in the barnyard and just singing all these songs. It was just really special. And so, you know, just wanting to bring a different, you know, a different sound to people for the same songs. And, you know, for people who aren't songwriters and don't do this every single day, I don't really know that they realize the difference in, you know, the fully produced version of a song that they hear on the radio or on Spotify or whatever, and then being able to hear the songwriter just sing them how they came in and how they were written. And so
that stripped down version.
Yeah,
I hear you.
I think more and more people are kind of going back to that too, of just really appreciating that raw, real sound.
I think about Miranda Lambert's Marfa.
Yeah. Marfa tapes, whatever it was. Yeah.
Great.
And that was honestly when I was working with Martin on the visual side of things, that was kind of our guiding light, was looking back and seeing those, and that was what I wanted to create in my own little way.
That was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's out there streaming. And you did original songs, but you also did some covers.
Yes.
You know?
There was we did a cover of Clay Walker's If I Could Make a Living Out of Loving You.
Yeah. Great. So
just a lot of fun.
I heard it said that I heard you say this actually in an interview, that you were a 90s girl.
I am.
You grew up on that 90s country music?
Yes. Oh, I'm a 90s kid and grew up on it. I mean, you know, it was this tug of war, because my dad loved classic country. I mean, his favorite is Merle Haggard. And so from him, I was getting Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings and Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline and a little bit of bluegrass thrown in there. And then from my mama, she was a huge George Strait fan, like any woman in the 90s was. Mm-hmm. And so I was getting a lot of George Strait and Alan Jackson and Reba and Trisha and Martina from her. And so I kind of have both of these influences that are similar in ways. Mm-hmm. And so both of those kind of, you know, are constantly pulling at me. And, you know, I remember listening to Clay Walker in the backseat of our car, and just that song was a song that just made me want to dance all the time. And, you know, I think that's something when we sit down in writing rooms now, especially with this 90s feel of stuff coming back, that's something that we're chasing all the time, is, okay, what is something that people want to dance to? Mm-hmm. And so, we took that back in the studio. And funny enough, when we re-recorded that, sorry, we're going down a tangent.
Nope. We do this all the time.
When we re-recorded that, the fiddle player, it was at least the fiddle player. I don't know if it was anybody else that was tracking that day. It was the same fiddle player that played on the Clay Walker record.
Wow.
Years ago. And he played on this again. And it just like was so serendipitous. Did not do it on purpose. Like we were just pulling up the next chart for what we were doing. And he was like, this song sounds familiar.
You know, it happened to me once too. We were doing a demo on a song that we thought would be perfect for Ronnie Dunn. He was doing his solo stuff.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the guy playing piano goes, well, I played the piano. Uh-huh. Boot Scoop Boogie. Uh-huh. I go, wow, well, we're honored to have you. You know, sometimes it's a small town.
Yeah, right? play it just like that. So maybe Ronnie will hear it and he'll like it, right?
You never know. How about another song? You know, while we're talking about the barn sessions, and you were talking about Grandpa getting your first guitar, is that the same Grandpa that Grandpa's Little Girl is all about, or different?
It is.
It is. Mm-hmm. So this has got to be a real special song to you.
It is. You want me to play that one next?
Can you? Is it okay?
Yeah.
I hate to make requests because I never know what you've practiced and what you're ready to play.
I literally prepared zero. Because I'm the worst at following any directions whatsoever for myself. So I can make a set list and I completely derail. So there's just no use.
It's none whatever at you're all. Feeling at the time,
none
right,
at
girl?
All whatsoever. I can play Grandpa's Little Girl. I actually wrote this one as well with Mike. And just another one of those, like, I actually wrote this one very closely to the same time that we wrote Why God Made Small Towns. Mm. I can very vividly remember it was still in the COVID shutdowns. I was still back at home at my parents' house. And it was one of those things, again, that had sparked. My first vehicle was my granddad's hand-me-down 1997 F-150.
Wow.
And that was what I drove to school every day up until I moved to Nashville. And when I went back home, the truck was still, you know, it's still in our family and it still sits on our farm and it runs and everything.
I love it. And how many miles is it?
It's like right at 100,000. Like there's not a lot of miles on it at all.
It's still brand new.
Because my granddad, I mean, he was a car salesman, so he babied every vehicle he had. And he only went within like 10 square miles of his hometown ever. And then when I was driving it to high school, you know, I didn't really go anywhere other than to the barn and to school and back. And so, not a lot of miles on it.
Wow, cool.
But, I mean, in the writing room that I was in, I could look out the window and I could see that truck sitting there every day. And, I kept getting little nuggets of things here and there. And, I had the first verse in the chorus of the song written and I took it to Mike and I was like, I just don't know where to go. And I know this song has to be right because it's, you know, memories of my grandpa. And he had lost his dad pretty soon after COVID shutdowns had happened. And so he was kind of near to, you know, the grieving side of things as well, too. And so he added a fresh perspective to it. And so that's where this song came from. Kinda smells like too much Bath and Body Works sprayed on. Trying to impress a boy who ain't ever gonna like me. It still sounds like her favorite country songs blaring through the speakers hours before Friday night rivals. Looks like 16 driving away for the first time. Blowing mama kisses out the window of the driver's side. Waving goodbye. But most of all, it still feels like you placing my hands on. Tending to while you're helping my legs try to reach for the pedal. So far away. 10 years old is too young to drive, but it sure as hell ain't the right time to say goodbye to the man who made your world. Yeah, I may be grown and you may be gone, but in this truck, I'm still grandpa.
Paul's little book. Oh,
that's awesome.
It still has that class of 2015 tassel, swaying back and forth like I'm still waiting on graduation day. And I swear those leather seats still look as good as he left them, 'cause I know you wouldn't have it any other way. I can still hear you answering that old car phone.
You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Telling Daddy that we wouldn't be too long. We're almost home. But most of all, it still feels like you placing my hands on 10 and 2 while you're helping my legs try to reach for the pedal so far away. 10 years old is too young to drive, but it sure as hell ain't the right time to say goodbye to the man who made your world. Yeah, maybe. I'm still Grandpa's little girl. Mm-hmm. As long as these wheels keep rolling, engine keeps running, I'll always be thinking. Most of all, it still feels like you placing my hands on 10 and 2 while you're helping my legs try to reach for the pedal so far away. 10 years old is too young to drive, but it sure as hell ain't the right time to say goodbye to the man who made your world. Yeah, baby, grown. I'm still Grandpa's little girl. I'm still Grandpa's little girl.
Paige King Johnson. It's a great song.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you what. First of all, I'm going to ask, was that ever a single for you?
Well, we put it out as a single this
did
year.
You, yeah. This year. Mm-hmm. Did you do a video on that?
We did not.
I'm telling you, you don't need to, because the furniture, the imagery in that song, it played in my head like a movie. Mm-hmm. It was just awesome. It's its own video. It's crazy to say, but it kind of was. And you know, lessons behind the songs, a strong first line, I think, is so important to draw you in.
Bath and Body Works.
Bath and Body Works.
Who can't? What girl that was born in the 90s cannot relate?
Cannot relate to that. You placed us in, and you said you had the first verse.
Yeah.
Did you have the chorus yet when you went into that? You did. So the first verse and chorus you had, so you knew how you were going to pay it off. I mean, it was just a brilliant piece of writing, I think, because of all that furniture, all that imagery that you put in. And that's the way to do it, girl.
Well, you know, and it was all just based off of, I feel like whatever it is, whether it's a truck for you or whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, a hand-me-down keepsake or whatever it is that you hold on to that reminds you of all those people,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you're grieving somebody or just missing somebody, if it's long distance or whatever, you get constantly reminded by those things of, you know, hearing things or smelling something and that was what I wanted to capture in this. Is it's not just like, you know, me sitting in there remembering, you know, him taking me to get ice cream in the truck or whatever, but it's like, you know, all the different sights and sounds and smells and sensations and everything of just being in that truck. And you know, there's a lot of different things that can kind of bring something up like that for you, and you don't expect it.
And smells are such, you know, I mean, next to a song, a smell can just bring you right back. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's what you did. You put, and it's great writing. You put us in that truck with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So good job. I'm a big fan of that song.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good. And I think you also bring up, we always talk about the lesson behind the songs. Great hook, you paid it off, and you painted the picture. And I was with you every step of the way. But, you know, going into a writing session, you had the makings of a song.
Yeah.
And I think it's real important if you're, and I hope that you are out there, I hope you're co-writing and you're picking other people's brains. And it's important to solo write too, yeah. But co-writing is what we do here at Nashville a lot. Mm-hmm. Because it brings you to that new level. Mm-hmm. But I think before you go into a session, have some ideas in your head. Maybe have a melody. Maybe have, like you said, yeah. Here's a verse and a chorus. I'm going to throw this out. Maybe you want to write on this. Maybe you don't. But this is what I'm feeling now.
Right.
So I think that's brilliant. I think it's an important lesson.
It is. Well, and that does not happen. I mean, I don't think that has happened since we wrote that song of me coming in with a verse and chorus. Because I am one of those writers where if you come in with a verse and a chorus, sometimes it's hard for me to connect, mm-hmm. you know, because they've already, you know, spent however many hours connected to this song, and trying to get into that headspace and understand where yeah. they're coming from yeah. can sometimes be difficult. And mm-hmm. so, like, props to Mike Astrakhan yeah. on being able to step right in and figure that out. But
yeah, Mike, that's awesome.
You know, sometimes for me that can be difficult if they're like, yeah, well, this is the verse and the chorus, and I just don't know where to go for the second verse. I'm like, mm-hmm. well, I'm not as deeply into this. But being prepared going into a write is one of the best things that you can do. I mean, because A, you don't want to waste people's time.
No, you don't.
Especially when I'm writing with, you know, bigger people that I admire as songwriters. The last thing I want to do is be the person who wasted their time, because they're never going to, you know, take a write with you again.
Yeah.
And knowing your strengths too, like, and knowing what the other people's strengths are. I know whenever I get in a room with Greg Wilson and Scott Sean White, they're both nasty guitar players.
Yeah, they're good.
I don't even bother bringing my guitar to writes with them, because I know that whatever they come up with is going to completely, you know, blow anything that I could come up with out of the water. Mm. And so those days I know that I'm probably going to be relying a lot on lyrics that day.
Yeah.
But there's some days, like when me and Mike write, I usually lean more into melody on those days. And so it's just, you know, it just depends on who you're writing with and knowing the people that you write with. But being prepared is key.
Good point.
Yeah.
What do you consider your strengths?
Sitting in the room, write a word, get a third.
Yeah, write a word.
No.
That was a spit take. If you're it's good that you weren't drinking water. Sorry for that question.
No. I think it varies, truly. And mm. you know, knowing who you're writing with and knowing what their strengths are as well, too. I would consider myself to kind of be a pretty good melody person. I can just hear things in my head. I'm not the best guitar player, as we established earlier. And so I'm like, hey, I hear this. Can you figure out what that is, or figure out what the chords are underneath, to lay underneath it?
I do that a lot in my sessions. I play with, you know, write with, I had a write this week with a Zoom write,
yeah.
Artist from the UK.
Oh.
And she doesn't play.
Yeah.
But she had this melody yeah. in her head.
Exactly.
And she had a pretty good lyric.
Yeah.
And so we helped her find the chords and fine-tune the melody a little yeah. bit. It was a challenge. It's a challenge.
Yeah. It is. And that's another one of those things where it's like you're coming into something that they've already lived with for a while. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. let me catch up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to fit the 5 weeks or however long that you've spent with this into 20 minutes and get where you are with it. And so it is. It's always, you know, kind of a challenge. And I tell people all the time that co-writing, especially with new people, is like going on blind dates. I mean, that's literally all it is.
It is a lot like dating. And the first time is a lot like a blind date.
It is, because yeah. you're going into this and you're like, okay, let me get to know you in 30 minutes. And also let's pour our hearts out for the next 3 hours. Like,
it's yeah. Yeah. You know?
And then at the end, we'll decide if we like being with each other and we may go on a second date / write again. Like, you know, that's all it is.
But when that magic happens, it's something, isn't
it?
It's a good feeling, and you have to hang on to that to make sure we're going to write another one, and we just keep going.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that's cool.
It is. It's a relationship that has to be nurtured.
It really is.
There's yeah. trust and all the things in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's cool. You're writing appointments. You probably passed the point now where you're asking people in rounds, can you write? I'm sure you're probably to the point where you're setting it up. You do it all the time?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a firm believer in having your solid group of people that you know you write well with. And I'm so thankful that I do have that now.
Uh-huh.
But I also don't want to get in a rut, and I don't want to, like, box out other opportunities, right? And there could be your best co-writer that you never knew you had sitting in around next to you. And I wouldn't want to be that person that's like, well, I already have good people that I write with, so I don't want to do that anymore.
Good.
So yeah, I'm constantly, and even if we don't write, like, hey, let's just go grab coffee and let me hear your life story.
Perfect.
And let's be friends.
Perfect.
Nobody ever got hurt by having one extra friend in this town.
I agree.
So, I love meeting new people here.
Me too.
Still.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could tell it about you. You're a people person.
I could talk stop sign out of stopping.
I never heard that before. That's good. Is that a North Carolina thing? You just come up with that.
It might be. Who knows?
I love it.
But I could. So I could talk the paint off of a wall. It's a trait. Maybe I should have been in radio, honestly. I think about this because I could talk to a brick wall.
That's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah, so I love meeting new people.
That's great. Yeah. Play another song for us. Something that you really want to play and got a great story behind.
Let's see. I feel like the first two have been kind of heavy. We'll try to play
something fun.
Yeah. I wrote this with Pete Salas.
I love Pete.
Todd Pagey.
Ah.
A few months ago. This was the first song we ever wrote together.
Oh.
Pete is a goofball.
He is. Been on this podcast, by the way.
He's a goofball.
Great songwriter.
But an amazing songwriter. And I remember walking into that write. I was introduced to Pete through Todd, and he had warned me. Not warned me. But he was like, he had told me, you know, he's the guy behind Shut Up and Fish, you know, one of the writers behind that and all the things. And so I was like, okay, stressed, got to come in with an idea. And so I had this title in my phone. And this might be a surprise to you, but I'm usually the biggest redneck in any room that I go in. And that was definitely the case that day. And I brought in the title Country See, Country Do.
Oh, nice.
As a play on Monkey See, Monkey Do. And this is what we came up with. Wake right up at the crack of dawn, slide your dickies on, and you're off like a bullet. Sweating like sin while you're tilling the land, see a cold beer can, damn, you got a bullet. I can't help myself, it runs deep in my well. Country sea, country dew, when you're riding knee deep in your John Deere green, the sky's always gonna be blue. What you love and it's in your blood, you ain't got no choice not to. Country sea, country do. Well, get cleaned up, call up your friends, where the blacktop ends, we're gonna be lighting up a bonfire with the radio, playing Cash and Jones, singing all night in. Can't help myself, it runs deep in my well. Country sea, country do. When your back porch has a swinging door for a tick on your name don't blue. When it's what you love and it's in your blood, you ain't got no choice not to. Country sea, country do. A tree, I gotta swing it. See an old John boat, I gotta crank it. A sunset on a river, gotta bank it. How about you? A country sea, country do. When your truck out back's gonna have a flag waving red, white, and blue. When it's what you love and it's in your blood, you ain't got no choice not to. Country sea, country do. Country sea, country do. Country sea, country do.
Beautiful. Paige King Johnson has been our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast. A brilliant writer, brilliant artist, amazing voice, amazing person. Where can we find out more about you? Where do we find you?
The internet.
On the internet.
Would be a great place to start.
On the internet.
My website is PaigeKingJohnson.com, yeah. And it has links to social media and all that kind of stuff everywhere. So
videos and things.
Stalk me there.
Listen to your music everywhere, too.
Yes, yeah.
Put them on the on your playlist. Okay?
Yes. Download it, stream it. Share it obnoxiously on Facebook.
Please do.
However you do it, please do it.
You do you.
Yes.
Yes. Paige, thank you so much. Just
thank
a pleasure
you.
To get to meet you and
you
get to know you a little bit. Yeah. And thank you for joining us on the Songwriter Connection.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
Get even more savings this holiday season by becoming a Milo's Rewards member. Don't miss new member deals dropping every week, like $15 off a purchase of $50 or more on select Bounty, Charmin, and Puffs paper products. Plus, get free standard shipping with Silver Key status. Just one more way Lowe's is here to help you shop, save, and enjoy the holidays. Join for free today. Milo's Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. Exclusions and more terms apply. Visit Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.